Thank you for joining us on Satellite Sundays.
Satellite Sunday, and it feels so, so good to be back.
It's good for you get your message, and you could, you know, it's like direct to consumer. Now an athlete doesn't need a publicist. He can say what he wants to say. He can promote what he wants to promote. But the bad part is, I think all these athletes are a little too engaging.
Now it's a guard-driven league. And I think that it's going to continue to be a guard-driven league for a while.
Drunk ass bitch.
Okay. No, that's okay. You gotta, you know, it's like medical terminology. You know, you can't say the P word, but you can say vagina. You know, it's the same thing. I get you.
It's called the BS quote of the week.
I think I was just as surprised and caught off guard by everybody yesterday. And, you know, as a team, you know, we just have to focus on what's now in front of us with the coach that we have now.
Or my other alternative was Triple H comes through Roman, he wins the belt, and the belt is now in the authorities' camp, and then he can do with it what he wishes, give it to another superstar or hold it over his head as, like, aha, I got you, thank you.
If we were to come up with two categories, a knockout division and then a divas division, you would have a giant feminist movement being like, well, why can't the attractive girls fight? And why can't the girls that are fighting, why are those girls considered dykes? Why can't they be knocked out?
But that's not us.
Why can't
that's not
I know?
Us.
But that's what we know. But you know that.
They created
you
know that. Hell yeah.
Well, I have a 4-year-old little brother, and I don't think guys would like him doing that.
Like, who does that? I did that
in New Age.
We used to have half-court shootout competitions once a year at the end of our basketball season. That's why I did one every game, but I certainly wasn't warming up with 10 of them a game and shooting from the tunnel. Like, we get it, you know, you got range, guy. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is, if you had to go up against a physical Chicago Bulls team, this is a bunch of prep school kids that don't weigh more than 111 pounds soaking wet. We're going to end it every show, every week, with the trending song of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Pro Bowl Sunday. Not that anybody really cares, but I think what is better is that it is Satellite Sunday again for the second straight week. It's like consistency, baby. You gotta love that. And a couple of the things that we're talking about today, we got the NBA trade deadline. We got is Tom Brady really the GOAT? I think it's GOAT in a different term, but we'll get to that. The classic powerhouse MLB teams. Then we're gonna switch pace a little bit here. Go to Matt Damon and his Oscar controversy. What's the point of Facebook? Can Trump really win this whole thing? We're doing our BS quote, our top song. We have sports. We have pop culture. We got everything here at the Overtime Sports News Network. And we may actually have a special guest later on, too, or a special guy calling in later on, which is always, always awesome to have because, you know, any attention we can get is great. We're kind of hungry when it comes to that. Dustin, Arlenis, and Jason on the phone right now. How are you, fellas and lady? How's everybody doing today?
Everybody's good. Happy Pro Bowl Sunday.
Pro Bowl Sunday.
The only Sunday the only Sunday in January where I can guarantee Eli will throw an interception.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Well, Let me guys ask you this, and I know this isn't one of the topics on our agenda, but 90 minutes is a long time, and we tend to talk fast. So let me ask you guys something here real quick. Why is it, and this is just my opinion, you can feel free to argue with me, but if you have an answer, that'd be great too. Why is it that the NFL is the top revenue-driven league in the country? It is obviously the top fan-based league in the country. People live and die by their NFL teams, more so than any other sport, unless you're an old-school, you know, baseball fan. But even so, football is the top sport, hands down. You look at any college in the country, the football team is their revenue sport. So, I mean, football is king in this country. Why is it that the biggest, most influential, and most profitable organization in this sports organization in this country has the lamest all-star game of any of them? I mean, why is it that baseball, which is starting to trend downward, unfortunately, in the viewership department, has a pretty cool All-Star Weekend. I enjoy it. NBA All-Star Weekend is awesome with all the competitions and all the stuff that they do. Of course, the game is like 250 to 275 every year, so that's always fun to watch. And even hockey's got a good All-Star game. And hockey's doing things with the whole outdoor, you know, frozen tundra type thing that they do every year, which is cool. Why is it that football, for years now, just can't seem to get it right?
Because they got a league full of divas that just want everything their way. Think about it like this, too. Your best player often sets the tone, right?
Yeah.
So who's your best player currently? Steph Curry. Anybody wants to argue LeBron James, go read my last article that I reposted. You're a moron. Not LeBron. LeBron's a thing of the past. Kevin Durant is better than LeBron at this point. So your best player, Steph Curry, is a jump shooter. Certainly not a dunker. So what does he want to do? He wants to show up, win the three-point shootout, and then just jack up a bunch of threes, not try, have fun, you know, give high fives to everybody. You know, this is the day and age of the soft athlete, and it sucks for a lot of people that are old school to watch. It actually hurts to watch. But
are you telling me that they don't take the Pro Bowl seriously?
Obviously not, but the NFL.
Okay, but do they take? Keep going.
Think about this. The New England Patriots have boycotted the Pro Bowl for like the last decade. Could you be more dickheaded as an organization? You already cheat. You're already a bunch of dickheads. And now it's a Pro Bowl, something that's 100% for the fans, right? Something that literally people are going to show up just because they get to watch all the best players compete. And you're literally a sore loser and you pull out because you just got the crap kicked out of you by the Denver Broncos. Like, come on, man. You did it when you were undefeated, too. You know, they can't make up their minds. They pull out when they go to the Super Bowl. They pull out when they have a good season. They pull out when they have a bad season. You know, it's just, it bums me out. I've said a million times, you want to fix the Pro Bowl weekend, you bring back the skills challenges, and you drop the game altogether. I love watching NFL Network back in the day in Honolulu when you got guys like Drew Brees throwing a football through a tire 30 yards away, and you can bring back a bunch of, like, you know, all the guys like T.O. and Ocho Cinco could come back, host it, goof around with all the newer players. Like, it could just be one big party of a weekend with skills challenges. You could do the Celebrity Hall of Fame flag football game. That one, to me, is way better to watch than the Pro Bowl. I love watching Aikman versus Montana in a flag football game. Are you kidding me? With Jerry Rice and Irvin out there. Come on. I would love that. I just think they need to bring the fun back and make it. What about guys like Jamaal Charles and all these guys that are talking? I'm the fastest in the NFL. Have them line up and do a race. You know,
what's funny? I was just gonna say that. You know what? I would actually enjoy seeing. We put these guys through rigorous NFL combines in March, and pretty much a lot of the time, their draft status and where they go and how much money they make as a 22-year-old kid depends on how they do in the combine. You get these guys that are 5, 6, 7, 8 years in the league. Let's have another combine, but let's have it on All-Star weekend.
Progress
let's
report.
See if these guys are really that. Yeah, let's see if they're really that fast. Let's see if guys
but can
still
you,
have
Jason,
all the
Jason
cool
Arlenas,
stuff.
Can you tell me what would be the best way to decide who the best quarterback in the NFL is right now, other than a quarterback skills challenge in Honolulu? Are you kidding me? Have a deep ball
in Miami.
Throw it the furthest. You guys remember the rookie? You remember the rookie thing where Joe Flacco beat the crap out of everybody with the long throw?
He stood still and threw it 70 yards.
So this is my point. I would absolutely salivate in front of my TV for 3 straight days if it was skill challenges. All my favorite players. Could you imagine seeing Tony Romo out there against Eli Manning for who is the better quarterback? I would love that. I would watch that 8 times.
What was that, Arlena?
I like Dino Martinez.
Did you say Tino Martinez?
Dino.
Oh, I was going to say, Tino Martinez was a baseball player, but okay. No, I got you. Okay.
I mean, think about this. What made the NBA All-Star Weekend so great? It was a skill challenge. It was a three-point shootout.
It was
a dunk contest.
Carter. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like the celebrity game, too.
I say we ditch the whole Pro Bowl as it is now, and we just have skills competition that weekend before the Super Bowl, and just leave it as that. Let the Pro Bowl be something like All Madden. Like, you just you had a great season, stuff like that.
You could even have, like, players playing each other in Madden. I mean, I'm making the NFL money right now. Do a deal with Madden and have a TV set up. Although there's a ton of players that play video games. Have them play as their rival team. So you got a guy who plays for, like, you know, the Patriots. Have them play as the Jets against a guy on the Jets playing as the Patriots. Something stupid funny like that. You know, you could do all kinds of cool stuff that people would watch more than a football game that everybody knows no one's trying at. So I just don't know.
Well, are people really trying in, you know, in the NBA All-Star game? I mean, there's no defense that's played at all. In the baseball All-Star game, you've had several people that don't want to do the home run derby. I mean, the only reason that people try in the baseball All-Star game is because they made it for home field in the World Series. So, I mean, you know, that's the only real reason there.
Which
the baseball, it was kind of a joke
back
to
in
me
our
before.
Old show, back in our old show, Mediation Mondays, which is why I said you put the All-Star, you put the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season and make it for a home field, meaning like East Coast, West Coast game, or you start having Super Bowls at like the home field, like of the winner that gets there, meaning whoever wins the Pro Bowl, East or West, now that side gets home field advantage, meaning the Patriots go to the Super Bowl against the 49ers. We're playing in New England. The problem with that theory is, what if Green Bay gets there? How the hell is Green Bay going to win the Pro Bowl? So it's like, I was trying to think of ways to make the Pro Bowl mean something like MLB, but it just can't work.
Dustin, let me ask you, would this be a cool idea? You know, you and I both played sports. I'm sure maybe Jason has. I'm sure the Jester did. I'm not sure about Arlenas. But you and I both played sports throughout high school, a little bit of college. And you remember when you were late for, like, a team meeting, or you were late for practice, or you did something? Exactly, but here's the thing, okay? My coach was a little bit sadistic about it. I mean, I was never late, but I'm just saying I was one of the ones having to participate in what I'm about to explain to you. But if kids were late or something would happen, okay, they would sit there in a chair, in the coach's chair, and they would watch as the rest of the team did their work for them, okay? So basically, we would run the suicides or the sprints or the squad, whatever it might be, while they watched, and they had to watch us do it, okay? And just so that next time, hey, you know, but and not only will
the reason
you think,
why
oh, crap,
I disagree with that type methodology is that's how you turn a team against each other. That's not good for chemistry. That coach probably
that, but,
isn't
but,
coaching anymore.
No. He's not. He left my sophomore year. But regardless, the reason I bring that up is because how about we do this? You take the two Super Bowl teams, okay, so in this case, Carolina, Denver, and you have obviously that game that nobody seems to care about today, okay? You have whoever wins – well, actually, you know what? Never mind. I just thought about this, and it doesn't matter because Super Bowl is played in a neutral location. Never mind. My whole point is that.
I guarantee you guys this. The NFL will get it right by the time the NFL will get it right by the time the LA stadium is built, because they're going to move everything there. They're going to move the Pro Bowl there. They're going to move the combines there. They're going to have to get it right, because now it's on the mainland
Super Bowl. Wouldn't you guys love to see who's the fastest quarterback in the NFL? And you line up everybody who shows up and have them run a 40. You know what I mean? Like, who's the best at the long ball? Who can throw it the deepest? Who's got the fastest wide receiver 40? Who can run the best routes? Like, stupid skills in drills competitions that don't necessarily end in a season-ending injury, but would be fun as hell to watch. I'm sorry. I would watch that probably twice.
See, like Dustin, I know you're not really big on hockey, but even hockey gets it right with a skills competition before the All-Star game.
Yeah, but I watch the All-Star stuff, like you're saying, because I know they have a great All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about hockey right now, they've got – I just don't understand. We do have to move on. We have actual topics today. I'm sorry that I brought this up, but everything about every other sport, even tennis, right now, every other sport is getting it right. But the number one revenue sport, the number one watched followed and lived and died by sport in this country.
But Chris, doesn't that make
it
sense?
Right.
It's like when you're a rich kid, you don't know how to budget your money because you're like, ah, screw it, who cares?
The NFL, they know
they got fans through and through. They know they're not going anywhere. They are literally being threatened by death right now. Concussions. There's tons. It was just released. The NFL knows how many concussions were received this year. The league should be shut down yesterday, okay? But it's not even going to hurt them, all right? You're going to tell me the last thing that they're worried about, the one and only thing they're concerned about
is a Will Smith movie?
There's two organizations you do not want to cross, the NRA and the NFL. Case closed.
Yeah, true. And if those two came together, ooh, boy.
Ooh, boy.
Now, guys, the NBA trade deadline, February 18th, it's rapidly approaching. I know Jason and Dustin are big NBA guys. Not quite sure about Arlenas. I know she likes the NBA, but she's, you know, for those of you who may not know who Arlenas is, she is our token baseball analyst. She's a huge Yankee fan, knows the game inside and out. So the next couple topics might be better for her, but hey, Arlenas, feel free to chime in if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. Guys, the NBA trade deadline is coming up. What deal do you feel get done? I've been watching and listening to sports stuff all week. Everybody's talking about how Blake Griffin's got to go. Blake Griffin gets into a fight, the Clippers staffer, he's got to go. Just to put my two cents in real quick, and I'll let you guys battle back and forth here because you're the NBA guys. To me, if that happens, it's a stupid move by the Clippers. I mean, that organization was in the basement. They were a laughingstock, a joke of the organization for 20 years. Okay, they needed two things to happen. Blake Griffin to be drafted and Donald Sterling to be a racist in order to be relevant. That's what happened. That's the only reason people know who the Clippers are. And then all of a sudden they got Chris Paul, and then they got DeAndre Jordan, and they got all these people that come in, and now they're a playoff team all of a sudden. Now they're relevant again. But this team was a JV team, a boys amongst men forever, until they sucked for long enough to get the number one pick to get Blake Griffin, and the rest is history. If you let that guy go, despite him being a child, despite him being whatever, you know, if you let that guy go, you're letting go the face of your organization. I mean, you ask any kid living in New York State, Massachusetts, New England, Florida, who might not live in the L.A. area, and you say the L.A. Clippers, first name comes to mind, Blake Griffin. So if you let him go, not only do you have to make sure you get a hell of a deal for him, but you also have to make sure that, you know, your fan base is ready for that. Because, like I said, he is the Clippers organization. They were nothing before him. And if they do a terrible deal here, they might be nothing after him too. I mean, but what do you guys feel here is going to be the trade deal deadlines? What's the dirt? We'll go to Jason first, then Dustin. What's the dirt? What's shooting around the internet here for trade deadlines?
Well, the biggest trade deadline rumor going on was Griffin, but
exactly.
I don't see him being moved. I don't see him being moved. It doesn't make any
sense.
He can't be. I mean, he's not going to be back until April. That's the first thing. So that's not really going to help a team. The only team I honestly see that's being aggressive right now during the deadline is the Boston Celtics, because they have so much assets to lure anybody over there. Like, they could put a package together to get Cousins if he's on the trading block. But if Cousins is not on the trading block, they could move someone. They could try to, you know, talk to Cleveland and see where this Love position is going to be, even though I think Love is going to probably stay. But I think this year is going to be very quiet. You might see Jeff Teague being moved, because it seems like Atlanta they don't want to re-sign him in the offseason, and they pretty much want to move him now while they get some assets for him. I see a team like Utah making a trade, because Utah's on the outside of the Western Conference playoff bubble. They have a great young team, and if they can add Teague with, like, Gordon Hayward, they'll be something to talk about in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, but yeah, but they don't really have, like, you know, they're not going to want to give up Wiggins.
That's true. And they don't really have much else. They have Rubio and Wiggins, and then they have ancient Kevin Garnett, so they probably don't want to do anything with that. But
Kevin Garnett's pretty much management right now. He's just there to, like, be in people's ear and be an instigator.
Basically, yeah.
But I don't see too much trade deadline of significance that would tip the sides. But I do think the Clippers have missed a window. I think this season, after the season, they have to blow up the whole thing,
But if you blow up the whole thing, you have to keep Griffin because he's their box office. He's their franchise player. I mean, like, seriously, 10 years ago, if you said the Clippers, you couldn't name me two players, let alone, you know, the coach. So I would definitely say that in the offseason, you're going to see a lot of teams blowing up. Right now, you're not going to see too many trades.
Jason, let me ask you, going through on SBNation.com, NBA.com, there were a few things. It said the Kings are willing to trade Rudy Gay in the right deal. I mean, do you feel that that might be – I mean, they got some good chemistry there, Rondo, Boogie Cousins, Rudy Gay. I mean, would that pick up a team? I mean, the Kings are kind of on the outside looking in anyway to get rid of a guy like Gay.
I mean, that would make sense because he's going to be a free agent. And they could probably get some – because, like, expiring contracts is, like, asset in the NBA. It's, like, gold because you could move somebody, rent a player, such things like that. If you're going to trade him, you're going to have to get somebody. You got to pretty much look at it as a Western Conference move. You got to find someone who's going to be able to play defense on a Steph Curry or a Klay Thompson. You got to find perimeter shutdown defenders. That's the only way you can compete in the Western Conference. So if you move someone like Gay, you got to get somebody in return like a – like a Courtney Lee or even Boston. If Boston want to move Sullinger, that would help with the perimeter against the shooters of Golden State. But you're not going to get a big, big name for Rudy Gay, but you're going to get a solid shutdown defensive player for him. I definitely think that.
I hear you. And last thing real quick, and then we're going to go to Dustin. Rumors are swirling around everywhere. Not only are they saying Teague to the Mavs, which would be huge, but they're also saying Dwight Howard's not going anywhere in Houston. You know, I liked Dwight Howard in Orlando. Didn't like him when he turned into a diva in L.A. I mean, do you feel that this is one of those things where maybe they should cut ties with Dwight Howard, try to get another big guy out of it? Or do you feel like maybe they can make salvage something with the big guy?
I think they could try to salvage something. Him, but then again, his position is outdated. He's not a, like, if you ask 16, who have Dwight Howard, Brooke Lopez, I'm taking Brooke Lopez. He's so great.
Chris, was he breaking up on you too or no?
Say that again?
Was he breaking up on you, too? I couldn't hear anything you were saying.
A little bit. I had to change my headphone cord around because I wasn't sure if it was just my system or what it was. I also heard a dog barking in the background, too.
All right. Well, Jason, if you can get yourself
the audio
squared away while I trail off here for a couple of minutes, try to either disconnect, call back in, or make sure that you're...
He wasn't breaking up on the broadcast, I don't think, because somebody just texted me and said that they heard him clear.
Okay,
he was just breaking up to us in our headphones. But either way, I need to know when he stops so I don't cut him off. But either way, so Dustin, what about you? Are you sort of – are you feeling anything's going to happen at this NBA trade deadline? And any splash picks, or is it maybe just going to be a bunch of little stuff that really doesn't affect much of anything?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. First of all, I think a guy like a Ricky Rubio being a move would be a splash move. Not a lot of people think so, but he's a distributing, dying breed of a point guard. So a guy like that to a team that's a title contender that needs a point guard sorely would be a very, very big, big move. Where he would fit, I have no idea because it's certainly not in Minnesota. I think one or the other needs to go in Minnesota, him or Zach LaVine. And I think LaVine, the only way he's going to grow is by starting and getting his minutes in and, you know, trial and tribulations type deal. You know, we already know what he can do with his leaping ability. He just blew all of our minds last year in the All-Star, you know, dunk contest. But I think a guy like that could actually become a pretty solid B player in this league and maybe even better with depending on his work ethic. But he certainly can't do it when he's only getting 10 minutes a game behind, you know, Ricky Rubio. So I think Rubio's got to go. Do I think it'll happen? I'm giving it like a 50-50 shot. I agree with the Jeff Teague thing. That's been well documented. I think Rudy Gay could be a valuable asset to a lot of teams, to be quite honest with you.
I think he could, too, for sure.
Even a team like Cleveland that needs true depth and not just a bunch of scrubs coming off the bench like J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert. So it just depends on who, you know, what the price is. I know that I think he's getting around $10 million a year, so that's kind of hefty for a guy who's not even averaging 20 points a game. So Rudy Gay, Jeff Teague, Ricky Rubio. Now, to me, this is what everyone needs to think about. Kevin Durant, he's a free agent, okay? A guy like Kevin Durant is going to be the best player in the NBA for a solid 7 years. It's not even close. He has his eyes set on Washington. He wants to go home. Okay. Now, the likelihood of that happening, I don't know. He spends a lot of time with Kobe. Okay. He spends a lot of time just trying to pick Kobe's brain and understand that killer instinct. The last thing you want as a bad thing for Oklahoma City is to not re-sign this dude or to all out just let him walk, you know, a repeat of the whole LeBron James scenario. So my biggest issue is we gotta find a place for him, right? You either need to sign him to an extension before the offseason, otherwise he's walking for money. He's going to leave. He's going to understand what Kobe's point is. You want to win a title, you find a market that's better for you, and then you go win a title. And I don't think it's in Oklahoma City. I think that town's too small for Russ, Westbrook and Durant.
It is a small market. They love him. They pack the arena in to see him, but it is a small market. But speaking of
one of them
markets,
they
go to – well, Jason just sent a photo. Jason just tweeted that he's I don't know if he's busy fixing his microphone. He's busy over here sending photos to us. But either way, he sent us a photo of both Durant and Westbrook both together wearing Lakers jerseys.
I don't think Oklahoma City loses both of them. I think they'll retain one of them because you got to think they're both max contract guys. The salary cap's going up huge this year, next year. I mean, they got the money.
True.
One of them is going to feel bad leaving. And I think realistically, the only one that would feel bad leaving is Westbrook, shockingly. He's mean on the court, but I think Westbrook's a really nice guy in real life, to be honest. Durant, on the other hand, I think he's kind of a dick. I think he's grumpy now, and he's realizing, I want to win. And he had a taste of it early, and now he's gotten less and less and less and less as the years go on. He's getting further and further away, watching the East get better and better. If he's smart, He realizes what LeBron realized. You go and you stay in the East, and you run the East. You dominate the East because the East has nobody. The NBA needs to be it needs to be redone to the point where teams that are really on the East Coast, like New Orleans, go to the East Coast Conference. You know, don't leave the Pelicans on the West Coast barely making the playoffs because they can only win 45 games, and that's not good in the West. That would be a two seed in the East. So they either need to reformat.
Good you mentioned that, though, because I'm up here in New York. I live up here in New York, obviously, and you're down there in Florida, but I'm in upstate New York. A lot of Knicks fans, unfortunately, around here. Go Celtics. But a lot of Knicks fans up here. A lot of people are saying could see Durant to the Knicks recently, or even to Brooklyn, but I doubt Brooklyn. A lot of people are saying to the Knicks. A lot of people are saying that Carmelo has been pulling strings with Phil Jackson, you know, behind the scenes saying, hey, we got to get this guy. I want to win a title before I retire. I want to, you know, be on a winning team, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, what is the possibility? You mentioned running the East. What kind of a team would they go to? I mean, the Celtics, I don't think could make a move for him right now in terms of what they, you know, whatever. But, and plus they have that good young core.
First of
they don't
all,
really have a superstar.
First of all, I hate the Celtics, but listen to me on this one. Why is everyone so willing to go to New York but not Boston? Boston was first, all right? They were original, right? They're cold-blooded also, same climate. If anything, Boston's got more, you know, legacy and impact and
in terms
just
of championships, yes.
Professionalism.
Like the most championships.
Why the hell would you go to a blue and orange, ugly New York Knicks when you could go play in Boston with the Celtics? They got 20 banners hanging in the rafters.
And those pretty green and white jerseys that I love so much.
Why the hell? So that's my point.
Because these players are players. Well, I'll tell you why. Because these players, okay, first of all, I lived in New Hampshire for a few years. Okay, obviously you lived in New Hampshire. You know the Boston bars close at 1 or 2. okay? Then it's a smaller city. They're a little bit more proper, like you mentioned. I mean, yeah, you can get into stuff if you get into the wrong areas, but Boston, it's different. These players look at themselves as, I'm going to New York. I'm going to the city that never sleeps. I'm going to, you know, they got the clubs and the shows and the concerts and the allure of New York. I mean, yeah, Boston is a great city. Anyone who's ever been there, it's an awesome city. I live 40 miles north. It's an awesome city. But New York is New York. And it's the same thing with L.A.
It's not even that, too. It's the keep forgetting Kristaps Porzingis. Like, this guy is the real thing, and he's young and he's raw. When Durant called him a unicorn, just think about it. He called him a unicorn, not as in being soft, but he called him as a unicorn as being unique and different, and that's something that intrigued him. Now, you get Carmelo. The Knicks are finally in a good financial structure where they can add talent. I think it's good things coming up for the Knicks in the next couple of years. I think Durant's in play. I'm not sure if he comes, but he's definitely in play, and he's definitely intrigued.
Can we just think about that for 1 second, all the morons that are like, Phil Jackson has no idea what he's doing? Can we analyze that?
He knows exactly what he's doing.
I want to absolutely punch these people in the face for saying he has no idea. Those idiots at the draft combine, that ugly-ass kid that was crying when his name got, and now he's wearing a Porzingis jersey. I hate New York Knicks fans. I'm sorry. I've never seen somebody.
It's like that with every sport. What do you think about Giants fans the same way?
If you hire one of the best coaches ever to run your organization, sit back, shut up, and let him do his job. I've never seen so many people just yap their gums and have no freaking clue what they're talking about. If I could trade everything we had just to get Phil Jackson in Brooklyn, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Because he knows what he's doing. Phil Jackson's so good, no one had an idea who Porzingis was. That's how good he was. He's so good that Porzingis wasn't on anybody's radar. That's how good Phil Jackson is. So everybody who had a problem with that pick, who doesn't have the balls to admit that they did, you're a freaking moron. All right, so let's put that one aside. Listen, I just want to finish what I was originally saying. Durant, he's been rumored he'll go to the Warriors. They got cap. They have cap. They're going to win. They're going to run stuff for the next decade. They can keep their entire team intact and then add another $30 million worth of players. There have been rumors that Durant is interested in going to the Warriors. So there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to play for him. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to throw their little package together like they did for Carmelo a few years back and LeBron. I'm telling you right now, people need to be smart about this, and they need to realize that Durant is going to be the best player in the NBA for the next 7 years, and you better bring it and get this dude on your team because he is up for grabs, and I will be stunned if he stays put in Oklahoma City. The only other guys that are on them that are like well documented on the trade block, DeMar DeRozan out of Toronto. They're going to want to keep him put. But he's the type of guy that could go to like the Lakers and change the entire franchise because he's exciting. He can get up, and he's got a ton of energy, and that's what they need. And then speaking of the Lakers, Russell, that kid that is only 19 that really is going to be like a great point guard if they ever let him play.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get rid of him because I don't know what the hell they're doing in Lakerland. I don't think they have any idea what they're doing in Lakerland. I think the sooner they get the bus – And what's his face? Kupchak out of there, and they let Magic Johnson take over of GM stuff. The sooner that team will immediately flip around and become another powerhouse, you know, back to what it originally was. So the names are Ricky Rubio, Rudy Gay, Jeff Teague, Durant. Surprisingly, probably won't happen, but OKC, if you're smart and you want your money's worth, you better find a trade partner and get stuff back for him because he ain't sticking around. D'Angelo Russell, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love. I'm telling you, LeBron doesn't want him there, but he's settling because who else is he going to get? If they could get Brooke Lopez straight up for Kevin Love, you're going to tell me LeBron wouldn't take that in a heartbeat? Get the hell out of here. LeBron would love that deal. LeBron wants a big man. No, I would love that deal because I hate Brooke Lopez because he's a down-low offensive player who doesn't play defense. But that's not Cleveland's problem. Cleveland's problem is no down-low offensive presence.
They got Monta.
They got – come on, dude. They got absolutely They got absolutely bent over in the finals because they had no big man that could score down low. It was LeBron playing the big man spot. I'm telling you right now, you want to cause trouble for the Warriors? You have the Cavaliers with Brook Lopez that can score down low, and they don't have anybody big enough to defend him in Golden State. I'm telling you right now, if that happened, that would have fixed OKC, everybody. Could you imagine Brook Lopez in the Thunder with Durant, with Westbrook? I mean, it wouldn't even be close. But again, so I'm saying Lopez needs to be moved for better or for worse. I don't care what Brooklyn gets for him. He just needs to go because that regime is done and over with. The entire team needs to hit reset. And I don't know, they need to figure out how to acquire draft picks and just start back up fresh. Go get Tom Thibodeau. Go trade for Derrick Rose. You know, just bring some energy to Brooklyn because I'm telling you right now, you're going to get washed out of New York if you let New York beat you to the punch. And they're already –
Real quick, guys. We do have to get on to a topic here that I think is probably a little bit more interesting, but I know you guys are NBA guys. Let me just mention one thing to you, and let me get your take on this real quick. Ryan Anderson, a player that a lot of players – or people, rather, fans
so
may not know too much about.
So
but, yeah, exactly. He might go to Detroit, SVG.
Who cares?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's
what I'm saying. These small little moves, these small little nothings might be –
that's
Jason
not
brought
what
up
we're
the
here
point.
To
he
talk
might not
about.
Have a splash. Well, hold on. He might not have a splash pick, okay, a splash move.
I just gave you 10.
But none of those are going to happen.
You're going to tell me Jeff Teague isn't going to get moved. You're going to tell me Ricky Rubio, DeMar DeRozan, Brooke Lopez, D'Angelo Russell. You're going to tell me those aren't likely to happen. Those are like 8 out of 10.
The only ones that's going to happen is probably Teague, to be honest with you, I think.
I think the Nets are going to make a move. They're going to have to make a move because they have no draft picks and they need to build assets and they need to trade the assets they have now.
Yeah, right now the Nets are giving Boston everything. So if they don't make a move, I wrote a whole piece 4 ways to fix the Brooklyn Nets. If they don't make a move now, they're going to give a top 3 pick to the Celtics for nothing. If you at least make a move now, go get a superstar that can win you 20 more games, then you're giving the Celtics maybe a top 15, top 20 pick, which doesn't mean crap in the East. So my point is you need to get somebody in there that can win you some games yesterday because every game that you lose is further putting you back and back and back and making it even harder for you to rebuild.
True.
Exactly.
Speaking of rebuilding, a team that doesn't need to rebuild is the New England Patriots. And for everybody out there who it might be a Patriots fan or maybe, may not be, Tom Brady is the guy. If you're a Patriots fan, if you live in New England, they basically have gold statues molded to this guy. Okay, he is a demigod in those 5 New England states. And to me, I look at him a different way. I know Dustin looks at him a different way. You know, to me, Tom Brady – he may not be the GOAT. He may be the GSQB. And when I say that, I mean he might be the greatest system quarterback of all time. He might be the guy who barely played at Michigan, who was a 6th-round draft pick, got lucky to come into a game because Drew Bledsoe got his head taken off, and has been put in with the Heisenberg of coaches in the NFL, a literal mastermind, who has given him an offensive line, has given him a dink and dunk offense. They haven't really had a vertical threat besides Randy Moss in the past 10 years. They have this dink and dunk game with Julian Edelman and Ron Gronkowski. They keep him healthy. And Tom Brady has sort of been a magician. Really, he's been sort of showing us a little bit about what that organization does and is. Every single time you make Brady do something athletic, like the Giants did in the Super Bowl, like the Broncos did this past weekend, he crumbles under pressure. He throws the ball away. He falls down. He gets flustered. He starts yelling obscenities on TV, and you can read his lips and this and that. Guys, Tom Brady, greatest of all time, or am I right as usual? Let's go with Arlenis. Arlenis, what do you feel?
I actually really like him, but I was watching the last game last week, and I was really impressed, like, the guy's only, like, breathed on him. He was already, throwing the ball away. That was really – that really shocked me. But I think he's really good.
Yeah, but why, though? just because of the championships, because of who he is? I know you like him, Arlenas, but why? Like, what makes you feel like he's the best?
I really think he is. What I'm saying is not about the championships either, because you don't get a championship on your own. It's all about the team. And I think that's what really makes him really good at this point, because he has a really good team behind him.
True. And that's what – see, I like that point by Arlenas, because you go out, you know, to Boston, you go out to New England, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, wherever, and they're going to argue to the death that it's Brady. It's Brady. It's Brady and Gronk. That's who it is. And we have Brady, okay? And no, you have a hell of a football team is what you have. And you have a good defense. You've got it not so much this year, but for the past decade, the best offensive line in football that allowed Brady to get touched. You have a bunch of shifty receivers who work well in their system. And like I said, it's a team. That's what it is. And you take – I can name probably – I won't do it because you're going to put me on the spot, but – so you could probably name 4 or 5 quarterbacks that could get plunged into that Patriots organization right now and be successful. I had an argument with somebody on Facebook the other day. If you put Tony Romo in that Patriots organization, I'm not saying he's better than Brady. I'm just saying that if you put him in that organization, he'd be successful. If you put Aaron Rodgers is successful anyway, but he'd be just as dominant as Brady in that organization, in that system. So to me, he's a system quarterback. Jason, do you agree with me on this, or am I?
I think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in NFL history, and here's why.
Oh, okay.
He's been to 6 Super Bowls. Just think about that, 6 Super Bowls, and he's never put his team in a position to lose any of those Super Bowl games. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. Like, not only is he the best quarterback, but if you look at how he plays, he's passionate no matter what. He will do whatever it takes to win. I respect athletes like that. He's in a system, yes, but again, you have to have the right personnel to be in that system to do what he does. I don't think anybody could do what he does if they was in New England dealing with his coach, dealing with the lack of deep threat receivers he's had his whole career. I mean, just think about it. His best receiver was Randy Moss, and they had him for 1 year, 1 or 2 years. But other than that, this guy always finds a way to win. He always finds a way to He reads defenses very well. I mean, he went against the Ravens defense for all those years, the Steelers defense, and he just pretty much owned everybody. So you have to give this man his props.
Chris,
how about you?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I've been here. So Jason makes a lot of great points. To be the greatest ever, I mean, I hear you, but Jason, when you think of guys like, I mean, Joe Montana, I mean, do you put Brady on the same level?
I put him on the same level. I mean, this guy, again, he has not lost a big game where it was all on him. And Montana had Rice. He had
okay.
Clark. You know, Brady, I mean, people forget, he just got Gronk a couple of years ago. I mean, Brady's been doing
this tight end.
Easily. Exactly. But he's been doing this for like 15 years consistently being a top guy. I mean, that one season he got injured and didn't play, and the Patriots still had a good record. But it wasn't the same without Brady. I mean, I don't know where this franchise goes without Brady, but his resilience, his leadership, his toughness, I mean, I definitely have to think he's the best. Definitely think he's the best.
Well, and you know what perplexes me is the fact that you've got – that organization who, like you mentioned, Rice was with Montana and these guys were with the 49ers. The Patriots, really, on the wide receiver end of things, yeah, they had Deion Branch and they had a few guys, you know, back in those Super Bowls, but they really – they didn't really have any big-name superstars. Tom Brady turns these receivers into superstars, but the thing is with them is that, you know, the organization is amazing at playing to players' strengths. They, you know, they look at guys like Julian Edelman, who might be a little undersized. Danny Amendola, who they didn't, you know, the league didn't want anymore. They play to his strength. You know, guys like, you know, these white, look at all the running backs that come out of there. This white kid, this Deion Lewis. They play to the strengths of these players, and they create their game plan around these players. So, if anything, it's the organization. It's Brady. Dustin, what about you? Because we only have about 45 minutes left.
Yeah, and I might take the 45 minutes to smack everybody around who thinks that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Listen, this blows my mind, okay? I want to start off with statistics so everybody doesn't just think I hate him for no reason at all. Game started in the postseason, 31, most of anybody. Beats out Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Montana, Elway, Bradshaw, Marino, all of them. Is that Tom Brady? No, that's the entire team. That's the coach, the organization, top to bottom, getting him in the postseason 31 times. Okay? Surely, if you get there 31 times, you're bound to win some games, you would think, right? 22-9. He's got a .70 winning percentage. But that's not the best. That's not even top 20. Okay? You got guys that are ahead of him with a better winning percentage like Bart Starr, Trent Dilfer, all right, Unitas, Theismann, give me a break, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, Eli Manning. I mean, there are guys that have a better winning percentage as him in the postseason. Okay, the other one that I look at that kind of, you know, jumps out at me is losses in the postseason. The top one is 13, Peyton Manning. The next one's 11, Brett Favre. 10, Marino. 9, Tom Brady. So he's only in the top 4 of anything postseason related when it comes to losses. That's the greatest of all time, right? Okay, my other point. You got Bill Belichick, who will probably have a trophy named after him shortly, all right? One of the best, if not the best, football minds to ever approach and come near the NFL. And you're going to tell me a guy who went undrafted, okay, works with a huge chip on his shoulder because he cheats constantly and gets caught for it constantly. So he has to overly compensate, free his name from all the BS that he brought on himself. Okay, this guy, undrafted, cheater, okay, can't even average 300 yards a game and more than 2 touchdowns in any of his seasons. That's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game? You're going to tell me a guy that isn't even top 3 in quarterback statistics across the board, TDs, yards, interceptions, he's not even there. Greatest of all time? He's going to play 10 years longer than Manning and probably won't even pass his record. Greatest
of all time? That's why I'm right again. That's why I'm right again, as usual. GSQB, greatest system quarterback of all time. He has been put into a fortunate situation for him where he has been basically treated like a god by the fan base, by the organization, and Jason brought up a good point here.
He only does interviews on WEEI and 96.5 because he's a homer, and he knows he will get absolutely eaten apart if he goes anywhere other than New England.
Exactly, and he doesn't want to do that. And you know, he does by all the other people. I mean, look at NFLmemes.com. Jason brings up a good point, and so does somebody who was writing into us here. Brady hasn't exactly played on Murderer's Row the past 10 years. I mean, the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills, come on. You know, I mean, he hasn't exactly had the toughest, you know, how many is that, 2 apiece, 6 games that he's got to play against those teams?
He's always had to play against Peyton Manning, so he had an equal in the conference. It's not like, you know, LeBron.
One game of the season, though.
But think about it. LeBron has no equal in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. Peyton Manning is Tom Brady's equal in the AFC. So that does count for something.
I mean, I suppose so. Jason also he hit me up on our little Android devices during the break. And it wasn't during the break. It was while Dustin was talking. And he said that and now, Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but you said that if we reward winning, he said that we have to define the GOAT. We have to define the greatest of all time. If we reward winning, he is. He said that the Patriots are the Yankees.
How can you tell me a team accolade? A team accolade is something that we're going to – No. But this is my point with everybody. Any New England fan in the world tells me that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the position. And then I say, well, why? He's got 4 Super Bowls. Are you kidding me? You're going to tell me because that team has won 4 Super Bowls that this scrub who can't run, who can barely throw the ball 40 yards and more,
He's the greatest to ever play the quarterback position. He's not even on Brett Favre's level. Never mind the Dan Marinos. Never mind the John Elways. Dude, he can't even compare. Peyton Manning's body's falling apart, and he's still better. Tom Brady's one of the greatest studiers and workhorses of the league. There you go. That's what he's good at. He's good at working with a chip on his shoulder after he's accused of cheating and then coming out and screaming and being on the camera. Good job, dude, and wearing an outdated-looking helmet. That's all you got going for yourself.
He does wear. That's a good point.
He's not the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
He does wear an old-ass helmet. Yeah,
guys, you can't tell me team statistics count as individual position legacy, all right? You can't tell me that Darko Milicic is a better player than Allen Iverson because he has a championship ring.
Brady has four.
I don't give a crap. Otto Graham has 7. Go Google him. No one's ever heard of him. Why aren't we bringing Otto Graham up? Greatest quarterback to ever play the game. He's got 7. Nobody even knows who he is. You can't tell me
that he has
4 Super Bowls that, oh, you're the greatest person to ever throw a football. Come on, dude. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. He barely threw the ball. He was on one of the greatest defenses that we've ever seen in our lives. This is just ludicrous, people. You can't tell me a guy is best at his position if he doesn't lead in statistics at that position. You can't.
So
it's not possible.
Well, we're up against it right now. Anybody who wants to debate with us about this, we are going to continue this debate a little bit. I think that this is a topic that, as football season is still amongst us, might be something that we can retouch. Possibly retouch a little bit later on in the show as well, but we do only have about 35 minutes left. Still have a few more topics and a couple of good ones. While you're at Overtime Sports News Network checking out the site, make sure you check out also breadfromyourbed.com. Big contributor of ours, big fans of ours. Make sure you go check that out. So make sure you have two little window tabs open. One is OTSNN and one is breadfromyourbed.com. So make sure you check them out. They're great
make
guys
sure
over
you
there.
Google and, stats on Tom Brady so everybody realizes that he's not the best of all time. Let's make sure you open a third tab and you go look up Tom Brady's stats because guess what? He's not the greatest to ever play the game.
And there's negative Nancy Bork. All right. Now, we've got number 3 on our big sports thing, and I'm not quite sure how much pop culture we're going to get to today because we just love talking so much about sports. But, guys, what will it take for the classic MLB powerhouse teams to return to dominance? Now, the 3 that come to mind, or at least that in our pre-production meeting that came to mind, were the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Cardinals. Now, I'm going to just touch on this real quick because I want to give you guys the chance to bounce this around a little bit as well. But to me, okay, the Cardinals, I'm going to start with that. The Cardinals don't really need to, quote-unquote, return to dominance or rebuild. The Cardinals are the staple. They're the model of consistency in the NL. I mean, they've done it the right way forever. They've built up from the ground up ever since the Mark McGwire thing. They have basically been to the playoffs or the World Series representing the NL, besides the Giants, more times than anybody else, or at least in the last few years or so. Right now the Cardinals are doing it the right way, and they're right in that hunt every single year. The problem is they've been caught up to by the bad teams like the Cubs and Pirates, who have used the draft and used their farm system to get better and make the NL Central arguably the best division in baseball right now in terms of competition anyway. The Yankees, a lot of people are going to say that they need pitching. Yeah, but they averaged 3 runs a game last season. So the Yankees couldn't hit worth you-know-what last season, and they actually had decent pitching staff. So everyone's like, yeah, we got Chapman, woo! No, you need a big bat in that lineup. You need to get younger if you're the Yankees. And if you're the Red Sox, you got to stop doing what you complained about the Yankees doing for years. For years, Red Sox fans are like, Yankees just buy all their championships. The Red Sox have opened their checkbook the last 2 years more than any other team in the league, and look where it's gotten them. Last place last year. They're still a good team. Don't get me wrong. Every team has a down year. But the Red Sox also need to start to use their farm system a little bit, and they need to start to maybe get a little younger as well. Guys like Pedroia's getting older. Big Poppy is ancient. They've really got to start to shift towards the new and modern day and age. And my last point on this is that Boston and New York are not like St. Louis. St. Louis is okay with being consistent over 5, 10, 15 years. You know, Chicago, well, the Cubs anyway, not other sports in Chicago, but the Cubs are okay with getting better slowly. The Pirates, okay with getting better slowly. You look at the Royals, who built up slowly from the basement. These teams are okay. The Astros are another one. Yankees and Red Sox are – Boston and New York are win-now markets. Being good again in 5 years is unacceptable for both programs. They want to win now, and they are trying to find ways to do it. I mean, the New York Post and the Boston Globe are brutal on these two teams if you read them, because they win, World Series, right now.
Chris,
that's what they're about.
Chris, the only thing I want to say about this, because you know I don't like baseball, is when your best player is 40, you're in trouble. Let's move on to Arlenas.
Both teams.
Let's move on to Arlenas.
Arlenas, what do you got to say?
Let's go.
Well, I love this team. Well, guys, I'm going to say, I don't want to start with the Yankees, because, come on, it's my team, but
okay,
the Cards,
so start with the Red Sox.
Okay, I will do that too. But I think the Cards, I'm in a bit of trouble, because if you recall, by the end of last year, they were really not having it, and Yadier Molina, he just got his surgery, so he might not be able to be by the beginning of the season, which is really important for them, because that guy is actually the game player for them. Like, the game planner is him. And they lost one of their main outfielders. He went to the Cubs, so that's important too. So I think it's really important to think of that when it comes to it. And then, well, Yankees, as much as I love them, we are in a bit of trouble, but not as much as last year, because I think we have, like, a good team now, and they made, like, a really good trade that it was for Starlin Castro. That was somebody that we really needed, and he's a really good hitter that he can play really well in the middle of the lineup, you know, between A-Rod and McCann, Gardner as an opener, you know, so I think that's what we need too. A really good first bat that we quite can really get it, which is Brett Gardner, but he's like, I don't know what happened to him at the end of the season. And when it comes to the bullpen, I think the starters are really good. We have Tanaka, we have Nathan Eovaldi, and Ivan Nova. As soon as they can like be healthy, it will be good. And we have right now the best bullpen in baseball, because the only three relievers who got 100 strikeouts in the whole season last year were Dellin Betances, Miller, and Chapman. So we got them now.
So let me ask you, Arlenas, we'll go to Jason real quick, because we know Dustin's opinion on baseball. Arlenas, what in this offseason was the biggest issue, the biggest problem surrounding the New York Yankees? What was their sort of, you know, their Achilles heel that they needed to get better at this offseason?
To me, it was like their starters. They just got all of them were blow up, and they couldn't hit. Mm-hmm. They got to places where they have like players in surveys with less than 2 outs and couldn't cash in. And I was really mad about it, because there were games where everybody hit, everybody homered. But then there were games where they got people in space and couldn't cash in. So I think that was really wrong. But we have a lot of so I don't even know.
I hear you. Now, Jason, you are a fan as well, but you are the other New York team fan, the Mets. They're not one of the ones in this discussion, because obviously they haven't been a traditional powerhouse needing to get better. The Mets lost some pieces, but they're still going to be right there in that race. Yankees, Red Sox, and Cardinals, real quick, what do the three of them need to change?
Honestly, I think the Cardinals and I think the Red Sox are fine. The Cardinals is a class organization. They don't overemphasize on their players. You know, they cut Pujols right when it was time to cut Pujols. I mean, I think they're going to be okay. That division is tough, but they are a class organization. They will find the assets during the season to compete. I think the Red Sox remind me of the Giants which are, you know, they just won a Super, they just won a World Series 2 years ago, so they retooled this offseason, brought in some pitching. They have a great starting lineup. They'll be fine. The Yankees this offseason emphasized so much on their bullpen, but they neglected to deal with the starting pitching situation. They don't have a solid number two or three pitcher. They are pretty much banking on going into like a 3-2, 4-3 game, and then in the sixth inning, set it up for the bullpen. But I think the Yankees, they need to add another starting pitcher. They need to address a couple of lineup holes because a lot of their core guys are getting older. You know, you're most of, how old is A-Rod now? Like 39, 40? No, he's 40. A-Rod's 40. Gardner's getting up there in age. They need to get younger. I think that will happen down the road when Harper becomes a free agent, because that's when, to me, that's when baseball is going to really get exciting again, when Harper leaves Washington in about a year. But
do you think
that's
Harper
all I got
comes to the Yankees? Do you think Harper comes to the Yankees?
Harper and Trout, one of them will be a Yankee by 2017. I guarantee that.
I agree.
All right, now real quick, because we do have to move on to some pop culture, which is always fun. Which one, Arlenas? Which one's coming, Trump or oh my goodness, Trout or Harper?
I think I'm so good both of them, but I would love to have Harper here. I just love the guy.
I mean, you can't tell me that Harper's not like makeup in Hollywood. I mean, Harper's going to New York if he's going anywhere.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Jason, which one's coming? Real quick.
I think it's going to be Harper. I think Trout's going to be offered whatever he wants in to stay in California. But I think Harper's definitely going to want to get out of Washington and deal with a class organization like the New York Yankees. I can't believe I just said that.
A class organization. Very, very good. You know, you're starting to see the light a little bit. Very good. Hey, the longer you're on with us, that'll happen. So moving on real quick. A little bit of pop culture for you. Matt Damon and this Oscarversy going on right now, which I'm so sick of, by the way, this whole thing. I mean, I understand the point of it. I understand everything, but it's just like everything else. Social media has made this thing a nightmare. But real quick, for anybody who's not paying attention recently, Matt Damon comes out and he says that it, you know, it's shameful, it's embarrassing. Dustin, do we have a clip of it, or do I have to read his quote?
I'd read it because I don't have a clip.
Okay, that's fine. He goes, you know, it's shameful and embarrassing, Damon told the told U.S. News on the red carpet. He says, there's 2 years in a row that no people of color are nominated. That's insane. Now, he joins the long list of celebrities that have come out saying that they feel there's something wrong with the Oscars. They feel like, you know, that there's no African-American actors or actresses this year. And apparently, I didn't know it was last year either. I don't watch the Oscars, so I don't know. But apparently now it's the second year in a row. He joins the long list of actors and actresses in Hollywood who have spoken out against the committee. And, you know, I was handed this topic in pre-production, and I don't really know the direction we wanted to go with it. And I know that this can be kind of a hot button issue for a lot of people, especially if you turn on any news outlet in the country. This is definitely a hot button issue on a much deeper level. So, what exactly are you getting me into here, Dustin? Like what Pandora's box are you opening up for me here in the middle of it?
I just want to know people's opinions. Do you agree with him? My take on it is, if no one's nominated, isn't that for a good reason? Like give me the alternative. If you think that people of race deserved to have been nominated, tell me who and for what movies and for what, you know, for what roles. I haven't heard a single person come out and given any kind of, reminds me of the
Tom Brady's the greatest of all time.
The blind fans that don't
that
have any latest? Kind of no. It's kind of like
okay, keep going.
So it's kind of like the people that are just blind that say stuff and then they can't back it up. If you could tell me, well, you could have taken, you know, first of all, it is kind of like a joke that Matt Damon was nominated in a comedy role for Martian because, A, it wasn't a comedy movie. B, I didn't find the movie too good. And I don't know. I just don't think he deserves to be there. I think a guy like Leo
DiCaprio, especially after what he just did to the SAG Awards. I think he's the one that should be winning everything, to be quite honest with you. And I don't think it matters. Yeah, I'm a big movie guy. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I don't think it matters. If there was a field full of African Americans and Leonardo DiCaprio had made that movie this year, he would have won. It has nothing to do with it. He had a hell of a movie. And
that's The Revenant, right?
Yeah, The Revenant, and he's finally getting what he deserves. All these years, I've never seen it. All these years, the Oscar, you know what I mean? Like, it's eluded him. And of all the great actors to come through Hollywood, he deserves an Oscar for what he's done in the past, and he finally should be getting one this year. I feel bad that no one's going to show up for it.
You know what would be funny, though? What would be really funny is if in 10 years – They make a documentary on Leonardo DiCaprio, and Leonardo DiCaprio never winning an Oscar, and the actor who plays DiCaprio wins the Oscar. I think that would be awesome. But here's my take, and then we'll get to Justin. Jeez, Louise, it's been one of those days. Jason, my goodness. My take on this whole thing is, you look at the movies that have come out this year, okay, the big movies, you know, and first of all, you can't say that they've been biased forever because, I mean, Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington have more awards between the two of them than probably anybody else in the room. But if you look at, you know, you look at the movie, what was it called, 12 Years a Slave a few years ago, Lupita Nyong'o. If I'm butchering her name, I'm sorry. She took everything. She ran with everything that year because it is – the committee, okay, comprised of 50 and older white men and women from Beverly Hills who vote on the committee, okay? Now, I haven't seen a whole bunch of movies with African-American actors and actresses this year. I don't think there were overall that many. I know Will Smith has Concussion. I still have yet to see that. I know I should. But movies like Straight Outta Compton, give you an example, okay? Good movie. I enjoyed it, okay? I mean, I'm a hip-hop fan myself, but I enjoyed it. But you can't tell me that this little 50-year-old white woman who still wears pearl necklaces and turtlenecks, sitting up there getting powdered and pampered, the ones who vote on the Oscar committee, can relate to that. I mean, you know, she can't sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I think this young gentleman, you know, was a true story of redemption. No, you know, I think it's skewed. I think the people who vote for the Oscars on the inside, not just the fans, but the people on the inside who vote for the nomination committees needs to change up a little bit, needs to get a little younger, needs to get more open-minded a little bit. Because a lot of the times, you're going to get any movie that is sort of out there, like Straight Outta Compton was, not going to get anything, okay? So, but the fact is, people need to stop making it a race issue. People need to stop saying the committee is racist and biased and they hate black people and they hate this and that. They don't. It's the fact that what the movie was, the context of the movie, who's nominating the movie, okay? I mean, you could have had what's that guy's name? I can't remember.
Oh my God, you're so terrible. Jason,
had,
give us your
You could
take.
Have had Rappaport in there, and they wouldn't have voted for
oh
it.
All right, the problem with the Oscars.
Honestly,
I think the Oscars are a little bit overrated, and it's pretty much – Chris is a little bit on track. The committee is a little, you know,
a little bit,
too
very
old.
On track.
Very, they're very old, and they need a revamping. Honestly, as an African American man, I have no problem with what the committee voted this year, and I'm gonna tell you why real quick. First of all, it was a down year in Hollywood. Period. Like all the movies, other than the superhero,
agreed,
which is the new wave, are killing it. Other than that, it's a very down year. People, social media drives way too much dialogue, and that's the number one issue right there. And
sure,
what happened when movies like Straight Outta Compton, the problem with that movie was the Hollywood studio didn't have enough faith in that movie and didn't think that movie was going to be that good. That's the problem. It's not the Oscars. The Oscars is the end result. It's the Hollywood studios. If they put more emphasis on Straight Outta Compton, it would have got more recognition. But something like The Martian got. You know what it got, because it's a decent movie where it appeals to everybody. Straight Outta Compton was made to look like, all right, it's just a bio about NWO, not the great controversy in terms of like what's going on with the police brutality and stuff like that. If they would have linked those two together, it would have got more traction. But again, Oscars is just a product of the bigger issue, which is the Hollywood studios not having enough faith in certain type of movies. And again, speaking to the Oscars, when you win an Oscar, someone like Leonardo is well overdue for an Oscar. I hope he cleans up next month. So that movie was actually pretty good, The Revenant. If anybody has not seen it, I say go check it out. Out of all the Oscar movies that's been nominated, that's by far the best one this year. But again, it's really a product of a bad year in movies in general, because Netflix is killing everything. So a lot of movies are not being made. Everything's pretty much going straight to Netflix, but that's a whole nother topic. But again, I think the social media is driving this whole, you know, the Oscar so white thing. They're going a little overboard with it, because Denzel's a great actor, he's won an Oscar. Morgan Freeman's a great actor, he's won an Oscar. Halle Berry, the list goes on and on. People are just social, you know, people just want to be group thinking. That's the problem with social media. There's too much group thinking and not enough individual thinking.
Isn't this just another example of how sensitive society has become?
Absolutely.
Guys, you know what time it is, right?
This is bullshit.
That's just total bullshit, man.
This is bullshit.
It's time for the BS quote of the week.
One of the things that people take away from watching the documentary is that poor people don't have a great shot in our justice system, that they don't have access to representation. He has access to great representation because he's already won a verdict that got him $100,000 he could use to pay lawyers. But that poor people often get railroaded through the system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any hope from this documentary? Because it's a fairly bleak story. I'm only on episode 7. No spoilers. Everything works out okay, right? Everybody's happy at the end.
All right, so that was the interview with Stephen Colbert and the creators of Making a Murderer, which is clearly a show that is, I don't know,
sweeping
over society.
Yeah.
And I'm personally not into it, because I need to, when I watch TV, I watch TV to escape. When I go to movies, I go to movies to escape from my life. I want to be in a fantasy land. I want to sit in front of a screen and I want to enjoy what I'm watching. I can't see murderers and all that weird crap, because then it just puts me in a bad mood. I don't like that. I got to be in a bad mood to watch that type of stuff. So I can't get into the show. My wife's obsessed with it, just like everybody else on our staff that talks about it every damn day, and I'm sick of it. So we had to do the topic and get it over with. So that was the quote, everybody. You heard it. We want to start with Chris. BS or no BS, people that don't have money seem to have a raw seem to get a raw deal in our justice system. Chris, take it away.
Well, that's what they make public defenders, first of all. But I'm not going to go forever on this, because I can and I won't. I don't think it's BS. I think that they really do have a much harder time. And I will give you one quick example, and then we'll go on to Jason here, because there's some other stuff. But Dante Stallworth killed a man in his car a couple years ago. A long time ago, but regardless. Killed a man, got pulled over with 3 times the legal limit. Okay. The guy that he hit was also drunk, not in a crosswalk, but whatever. You're driving your Bentley at 3 a.m., you kill somebody, you're 3 times the legal limit. Got 23 days in jail, a little bit of a fine, and some probation. Dustin, if that was you or me, we'd still be in prison to this day for vehicular manslaughter. So I'm just saying, money buys everything. Money is the root of all evil, but it's also the root of all happiness. Jason, take it away.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, the poor people, I mean, that's just life. That's what it is. You got to deal with the cards that you're dealt with in life. And it's all about representation. The better the lawyer, the better the chance you get have of getting off the case. I think the problem with the system is it's not enough about the facts, or it's pretty much about opinion. It's can you convince a juror that you did not or did do the crime? That's more the problem with the political system. I think Making a Murderer shine a light on that, because this guy was like, wait a minute, how is he guilty if we don't have enough proof? But he was also guilty before, because of he say, she say, and there was no DNA evidence or stuff like that. So, again, it's all about representation. And, of course, the more money you have, the higher chance you get the best of the best.
Melina?
Well, to me, I'm a big fan of those things like Dateline, you name it. And I think that quote was really it, because people who actually don't have money enough to get representation and that kind of thing, they have this opportunity. It's like the Central Park Five. I don't know if you guys know where that is, but, you know.
No, I don't. Oh, no, I know what Central Park is, but go on.
The Central Park, yeah. Well, it's a big deal. There's a movie, Netflix, you can watch it. But, yeah, I think it wasn't BS. I think it is, yeah, of course. Not BS.
Okay, fair enough. And Dustin, real quick, BS, no.
I could listen to Arlenas just talk all day.
Okay,
but
can
anyways,
we have to look up what BS means quick?
Yeah.
No, we don't have time. Anyway,
keep going. So, honestly, I think what Colbert says is true. I think that, you know, even though that you are provided with a public defender, we all know how easy it is to get that job as opposed to being a higher up, you know, attorney and someone who can defend somebody. And I don't know. I think that people that are not necessarily, I've seen like one or two episodes because I was like, I could hear it as I was laying in bed and I couldn't ignore it. And it sounds a lot like a guy who's just kind of really got a raw deal in life, has a dumb family, isn't too, you know, smart himself. So just doesn't know who to reach out to try to get to defend him and all that crap. So I think that Colbert is right. But that's just my point.
We interrupt this broadcast for an important message from the Jester.
What? What? Has made an appearance here with that Undertaker-esque music in my headphones here. Jester, it's nice to have you on the show, buddy. Finally, we've been hearing a lot about you now for weeks. So it's nice that you're finally joining us, even though I'm a little bit deaf now. But it's nice to have you.
Yeah, I know. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
I mean, why wouldn't it really? I mean, do I hear a touch of... I don't know. What's the – me not knowing a word is weird, but what is a touch of it called? I can't remember.
I believe the words conceit, maybe convinced. Yeah, you know what? Let's call it convinced. It sounds more PC.
All right. Hey, you said it, not me. You know, I get the conceit vibe more if you ask me, though. For all of you who don't know, the Fantasy Jester, think of him along the lines of Matthew Berry, per se. What? Dude, tell me, what's so funny? In the words of Joe Pesci, how am I funny? Speak up.
Did you really just compare me to Matthew Berry? Let's hold on a second, folks.
He's an analyst.
All right. I'll recognize some people might not know me, and that's fine. That's great. But let's get something straight here. First of all, Matthew Berry... That's my bitch. I mean, I've even had a team named Matthew Berry as my bitch. He couldn't hold the top 10 on my bitch list. Guys like him, Andy Behrens of Yahoo, over at CBS, they got a collection of guys that are doing less sports coverage than I am. These guys make me laugh. But also, what's good is they've been my inspiration. Because of clowns, and I'm sorry, they are. They're ass clowns, folks. These guys, they're the funniest. If they can make it big, I should be huge at all. Understand one thing, guys. I don't have just a phenomenal record in one or two sports. I'm talking, I have a great record in NFL. And this is all documented. This isn't a made-up story. This is NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. NHL, even golf and auto racing.
I've actually seen the trophy case. So if people want to verify it, sadly he's telling the truth.
Yeah, of course it's true. I mean, I'm not here to make this up, and I'm not here to waste people's time. The real thing is my winning percentages. You know, somebody get Behrens, somebody get Matthew Berry, any of the clowns from CBS Clan, get them on the phone, tell them I'll challenge them in any sport We can do it for bragging rights. We can do it, play for money, whatever they want. Can somebody out there please let them know they've been challenged?
We actually have Matthew Berry's lawyers on the phone. And no, I'm just kidding. You are confident, man. Wow. I mean, hey, you know, I guess you gotta be the best to beat the best, right? And so anybody out there who wants the challenge, we've got the best right here.
Well, it's not even that. I have every right to be confident. I've played under several formats. I play all the sports. I've seen everything that I need to see, and what I've seen mostly is from those guys. If they play fantasy like they give analysis, I will wipe the streets with them. All right? Understand, I've played with the likes of Jason Kaiser. Okay? This guy is just phenomenal in the fantasy world. Tommy Wilkerson, a big money guy. Okay? Just a phenomenal player. I played against a guy. There's this guy, Jason Townsend, okay, who's probably right now somewhere in Kenya because he's scouting the six-month-old that he says can crawl the 40 in record time, okay? So, I mean, the competition that I face and had success, I mean, seriously, though, these guys, they can research the hell out of an athlete, okay? And that's where I learned a lot of it. Between playing guys of that caliber and the sheer number of leagues that I've played in and succeeded, I will be the number one analyst. I already am now. I'm just waiting for them to all concede. So Andy Behrens, Matthew Berry, that fun bunch over at CBS, you have all officially been challenged. I don't know a true fantasy player or competitor that will turn down a challenge. I say your move, fellas. Come and get me.
Well, there it is, folks. You have been challenged. The jester is here. It sounds like he's here to stay. And I mean, it sounds like he's not kidding. I mean, a guy who talks with that kind of commitment, without wavering at all, without saying once, has to be pretty confident in his game and his craft. So there you have it, folks. Now, real quick, Jester, what's going to be your first story? Your debut story?
Well, here's what you can expect. Anything and everything. Okay. We're going to have stats. We're going to have pickups. We're going to have last-minute injury updates.
We lose them?
Sounds like it. I wasn't sure if it was my headphones or...
No, we lost them. Hopefully he'll get back to us here.
I had a question for him regarding something. Okay, well, hopefully he can get back to us here in a second.
I can't figure the guy out. He doesn't tell us when he's going to show up. Now he's just bouncing halfway through his sentences.
You know, he's like the Sopranos. He's like the Sopranos, just fades to black. You know, that's what happens. Well, there we go. So y'all have heard about it here, and I don't know why I'm saying y'all. I live in New York, but regardless, y'all have heard him now. If he decides to pop back in on us, you'll hear more from him. But that was the jester. We have been advertising him now for months at the Overtime Sports News Network. I didn't know he was going to pop in when he did. That's why the church bell music kind of took me as a surprise here. But, you know, he comes and goes. That's what he does. When you're the greatest fantasy sports analyst in the country, that's what you can do. You can pop in and out of places without any warning at all. So, again, the Jester's on February 1st. We didn't get a chance to hear what his debut story is going to be. If we don't get him back on the line today, then – you can just check out the Overtime Sports News Network, OTSNN.com. Also, check out breadfromyourbed.com as well. Great contributors over there. While we have a couple minutes, we'll get back into the jester if he does pop back in. Only a few minutes left to go here in the show. Did you guys want to go into the iTunes Song of the Week real quick?
No. No. That's what we end the show with, Chris. Oh, my God.
You're kidding me, Smalls.
God. Listen. What I do want to do while we're waiting for this guy to come back, if he decides to come back,
he's not coming back,
is I want to know, we can kind of branch off the BS quote of the week, the like it, love it, or meh, was Making a Murderer. So, Chris, like it, love it, or meh, the show Making a Murderer. And then we'll go to Jason, then to Arlanis.
I normally like shows like that, but I haven't seen this one. so I can't really comment. I've been too busy to watch it, so I'm just gonna say meh, just because I haven't seen it.
Jason, go ahead.
I like it. I like it. It's definitely worth watching, taking a look at.
All right, so I personally just don't know. I don't know why I'm having a hard time getting into it. Again, like I said earlier, I kind of said that, you know, TV to me is all about just getting away, right? If I'm stressed out, I mean, there's a reason why all my favorite shows are just mindless comedy sitcoms. You know, all the way, I love Seinfeld. I love King of Queens, The Office. Those are my favorite shows. You don't see me loving like a random crappy, you know, just some stupid like CSI Miami. I'm not into that stuff, you know? So I don't. Jester, are you back?
Yeah, here I am. Right. I have no idea.
Oh, there he is.
I think it must have been the I don't know, maybe the FDA was shutting you down because that Matthew Berry shout out or something. I don't know what happened.
Maybe somebody jumped in the somebody's not happy.
Jester, listen, we only got 3 minutes left. We need to know what your first story is going to be. Get that out there.
Yeah, no, not a problem. You know, I can promise you this. I can't tell you everything, but I will promise you this, and I'll promise the readers this. Okay, you'll know just how much Uncle Jester has their back. Okay, you guys out there, I will give you insider information, and I am more than sure that at the end of this, okay, of this article, people will be pissed I wrote it. I promise you that. I will not disappoint you.
Well, okay, so he's here to open doors, open eyes, and people off. That's the Jester, and he will be here February 1st. Make sure you check out the website.
Realistically, for everybody who's listening, I've been talking on and off with Jester for weeks now. We were excited to bring him in. He's going to make some waves, and it might not make some folks happy, but it's certainly not going to be blowing wind up anybody's skirts, I'll tell you that. So he's not kidding when he says this. He's got some serious stuff that's on the way. And, you know, he has stories, and then he also has daily fantasy advice. So it's not just about, you know, some guy getting some. It's this guy is going to help you through every fantasy situation you need now and in the future. So just check it out, all right? Go to the otsnn.com. There's a fantasy daily news tab. He's going to post everything there constantly. And then anything that has fantasy in front of it has something to do with the Fantasy Jester. So just believe him. Can't believe us when we tell you that this guy, he's going to make waves, and he's worth listening to.
Just a real quick, we do have to end the show here in about 2 minutes. I got an email from Jeff in Syracuse. He wants to know, he says, obviously, he looked at our advertisements about you and everything. What do you feel about the one-day leagues like DraftKings and FanDuel? Real quick.
We don't have real quick for what I feel about DraftKings and FanDuel, but I gotta promise you this. Tune in to what I write these next couple of days, and you'll find out exactly what I think.
All right, Jeff in Syracuse, check out the Overtime Sports News Network, otsnn.com. You'll find out all the answers about those one-day fantasy leagues. Dustin, I believe we got a song coming. See y'all next week. Satellite Sundays with the Overtime Sports News Network.
Work, 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 work. You see me every work, 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 work. You see me do me there, 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 there. There's something about that work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the cafe, my ta, 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 ta. Drive me, I deserve it. No time to have you lurking. The knife, nobody touched me in a righteous. Nobody touched me in a crisis. I believe all of your dreams are the reason. You took my heart, all my keys, and my passion. You took my heart, I'ma leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had, something that you never seen, something that you never been. Up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work. You see me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. Tell me about that work.
why, 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 why.